hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Hope this song I'm singing be warned. You run down my country, man. You walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the fog and dying key. If you don't love it, leave it. You run down my country, man. You walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on alt-right-tv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, here is a great little video, and of course it's really all mostly sound, called It's Just a Mask. And how many times have you heard that? It's only a minute and 18 seconds long, but it really makes a point.
It's just a mask.
Yeah, get over yourself, Karen.
It's just 6 feet. Can't you survive without physical touch?
It's just a few months of no church. It's not like the Bible says to assemble with the brethren or anything.
It's just singing that's banned. But hey, you can go back to church now.
It's just food rationing.
It's just a few months without your grandparents. Better they spend their last days quarantined than with their families.
It's just a small business. I mean, it's too bad that they had to close down, but there's always Walmart.
It was just a few mistakes in COVID statistics. It's not like they meant to fool us.
It's just a vaccine. Everyone should be forced to get one.
It's just a few fake news stories, but you should still trust everything else you hear.
It's just a little censorship. Just don't question the status quo, and you'll be fine.
It's just a peaceful protest.
It's just mail-in voting. It's a lot safer. And what's a little voter fraud in the grand scheme of things?
It's just a riot. If businesses are destroyed, insurance will cover it.
It's just Joe Biden.
It's just socialism. It's never worked before, but we're gonna get it right this time.
It's just a mask.
I think that's a really powerful ad, a very, really powerful video, and I'm gonna be playing that again. I think these two young people make a great point. I'm going to be playing part of the talk I gave last Friday night in Vancouver. I want to thank Brian Rue, my videographer, for for doing this. The talk was entitled The COVID-19 Scamdemic, Stripping Canadians of Their Liberties and Creating a Cashless New World Order of Sheep. That was the first topic, and the second topic was anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. How the cultural Marxist wrecking crew, that's politicians, most media, and many corporate traders, have made war on European Canadians. I'm going to play the first part of that tonight, and because the entire talk was about an hour and 20 minutes. This is Paul Fromm.
So this is July 31st, 2020. I'm in North Vancouver with Paul Fromm. He's our guest speaker tonight. Paul Fromm is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, the winner of the George Orwell Free Speech Award in 1994. Tonight, his talk is entitled The COVID-19 Scamdemic, Stripping Canadians of Their Liberties and Creating a Cashless New World Order of Sheep. And anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, how the cultural Marxist wrecking crew, politicians, most media, and many corporate traders have made war on European Canadians. So I've been meeting Paul here in North Van for over 5 years. We've done over 130 videos together. Right here on my BitChute channel, go to the playlist, click on The Brian Rue Show, scroll down, I have a playlist called Paul Fromm with over 100 videos. So welcome everyone, welcome Paul.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the kind introduction, Brian. It's great to be back here in North Vancouver. In fact, it's great to be back anywhere outside of my home city. Travel has been, of course, so restricted. I really sense that we are in the middle of a revolution. Not all revolutions begin with running up a red flag and saying we've got a revolution going here. But I think on several levels, there is a revolution. And one of the things that's being so obvious is the way our rights, our individual rights, have been absolutely vacuumed away from us. Think about conditions, let's say, well, the last time I was here, late February of this year, and we are now 5 months farther on. In late February, I could drive from Victoria, British Columbia, to St. John's, Newfoundland. Well, I couldn't actually drive to St. John's. I'd have to take a ferry, but and that would be considered the absolute right of a Canadian, right? You've got a right to go to any province you want. I could go to Prince Edward Island, or New Brunswick, or Nova Scotia, or Manitoba. Not anymore. I cannot drive from Ontario to New Brunswick unless I have New Brunswick plates, or unless I can convince them that I have urgent business, like my mother who lives there is dying or something. Who would have imagined this 6 months ago, that our rights would be so curtailed? I cannot get on an airplane now. I cannot even go through security unless I put on this little badge of servitude. I've got a mask, I think. Yeah. Oh, yes, there it is, right at the bottom of my pocket. You face this one especially for special occasions. I must wear this mask to get on a plane. I'm told this is part of the contract. And also the Canadian Transportation Commission demands it, so you gotta do it. And here is my mask of protest. And my mask says, dog. It's quite a discussion starter. Dog. And people say, why does your mask say dog? I say, well, in civilized countries, only dogs are muzzled. Anyway, who would have thought that to get on a plane, in addition to their excessive fees that you have to pay, that you'd actually have to wear a mask? And when you get on that plane, you might sit back and, it's Air Canada, so you're not going to get any food, but you'll probably get a service of tea and coffee. Not anymore. I said, why not? COVID virus. Why is that? And we will be told that at every possible turn in this country today. The excuse for The reduction of service or the cancellation of service, the excuse for shepherding you around like a sheep is COVID virus. That is the excuse given at every level. Who would have expected, thought maybe 6 months ago when I was out here last in February, that to go to a drugstore or supermarket, I think certainly in Ontario, you have to join a line. Well, how do they decide how many people should be in this drugstore? Who knows? Trauma's Drug Mart's a big drug mart chain, and there's one not too far from where I live, and it's huge. You could probably put 60 adults in there, and they'd all could be 6 feet apart, and all those things we're told we ought to do. Well, why is the limit in there about six? Who knows? COVID virus. And so you are made to stand outside of the Shoppers Drug Mart to line up to go in and spend your money to make them rich. Often to buy things they don't have. They don't have the toilet paper, or they don't have the hand sanitizers. They seem to be mysteriously out of stock. Well, why must you line up? Don't know. COVID virus. Same thing with a grocery store. And I've several times complained, being having lined up outside of banks. Back in March, I was complaining, I'm in a greater danger of catching a cold out here than I am COVID virus. Well, now, I'm in greater danger of getting a sunburn out here than COVID virus. Well, what we have seen is Canadians, not all, fortunately, but many Canadians passively give over their rights and allow themselves to be regimented to protect themselves from what is largely, in my opinion, a scam. I don't deny there's such a thing as COVID virus, and often we're not reminded where it came from. It came from communist China, as almost every major flu epidemic in the last 800 years has. The Black Death came from there. The Spanish flu, badly misnamed, came from there. The Hong Kong flu came from there. SARS came from there, and of course now COVID virus. And they must be blamed, and they must be blamed very severely, because they suppressed that information. They allowed many travelers to leave China and spread it throughout the world, including here. The Red Chinese deserve a great deal of blame. Anyway, I don't deny there's a flu. I don't deny it kills people. But the flu kills people every year in Canada. It's almost always the same. The old and vulnerable. If you're old and you have a number of existing illnesses, normal flu can kill you. And this is no different. The deaths in Canada are overwhelmingly, and that's over 82%, in badly run extended care homes, or old folks homes, or whatever you want to call them. Many of them were terribly run, badly, badly run before COVID virus. In the province of Ontario, 1,750-odd people died last year in extended care homes from communicable diseases. That is, some illness walked in off the street and killed a vulnerable old person. The conditions, this is across the country, in these extended care homes were terrible. And yes, that's where the bulk of the deaths have been. I may have the figure wrong, but I think off the top of my head, I heard on radio today that since COVID virus hit the province of British Columbia, 181 people had died of COVID virus. Last month alone, 170 people in British Columbia died of fentanyl overdoses. Now, have you shut down the economy to deal with the poor druggies that are killing themselves? No. And it's the same every month. Over 150 people die every month in British Columbia from overdoses of fentanyl. Don't shut the economy down. And yet that has been done with the COVID virus. So yes, there is such a thing as COVID virus. It's a flu, and people should take reasonable precautions. Like if you're old, and vulnerable. You've got other medical conditions. And by all means, you should probably stay home, stay in. If you have to go out, wear a mask. At least in Ontario, the statistic is that the average life expectancy of a person in an extended care home is a year. So, you know, you go into those places because you're very much on your way out. And yes, something like a flu can put you over the edge. What has happened? I know there are various conspiracy ideas and others. I'm going to try to stay away from that and just kind of try to objectively tick off what has happened. People have been scared almost witless, almost to the point of insanity. And not just old people. In fact, I would say more young people. You cannot turn on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation without getting all sorts of updates about COVID virus. Province by province, the number of cases yesterday, the number of deaths, the overall number of deaths, how many people died in the United States, how many people caught it in Florida, and on and on and on. And don't we have to remember, just having COVID virus doesn't mean you're going to be dead. In fact, the mortality rate is very, 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 very small. And indeed, the more people they test and they find that have it, the lower the mortality rate will be. Because it turns out a lot of people have COVID virus with no symptoms, or have very mild symptoms, like a mild fever or something like a bit of a cold, which passes and they get back to normal life. Only a very small number of people develop severe symptoms, and then even a smaller number of those end up, unfortunately, dying. But those facts have been massively oversold. You see it all the time on TV, on the radio, in the newspapers. You turn on CNN in the United States, and it's the same thing with American statistics. And then they go abroad and they tell you how bad it is in South Africa or how bad it is somewhere else. And everywhere, it's police state stuff. The whole country of Australia has had fewer than 200 COVID virus deaths. I was talking to a friend of mine in Queensland. He cannot go to New South Wales, which is the state just below Queensland on the east coast of Australia, without some form of special permission. Internal movement is prevented. Why? COVID virus. Police are stopping cars and turning people back. All because of this so-called pandemic. One thing I think that is going on is that government and businesses are probing. Just like in a military operation, you send a raiding party to see how strong the lines are over there. And if they're weak, then you attack. If you get repulsed, well, you try somewhere else. I think what they're trying to do is to see how much Canadians will take. And how sheep-like, obedient, and broken we are. I'm afraid to say in many cases, Canadians are completely broken, sheep-like, conformist, unthinking people. And I say unthinking because even if you accept the basic premises of the COVID virus story, and that is, for instance, that we should try to keep 6 feet distance between us, then why are there these artificial tiny numbers allowed into stores? I mean, if a 6 feet rule is a good one, well, why can't we go in? And being adults, we'll try to keep more or less 6 feet from the person ahead of us. Why not? Don't know. We're not told. Everywhere, though, business will use COVID virus as an excuse for bad treatment. Now, Air Canada's seeing the blues today. If you turn on the news, they're saying their revenue is down 90% so far this year, and the travel's way down. Well, I'm not surprised. They cancel most of the flights. They make it as miserable as possible to be a passenger. And you would think, well, at least they'll still give you the tea and coffee and soft drinks. You're told early on in the flight, after the fourth reminder to put your ass back on, our service is temporarily suspended. Why is the service suspended? COVID virus. How does that work exactly? You're up and down the aisles, telling us to put our masks back on properly and all the rest of it. Why would coming down the aisle with your wagon and saying, would you like a Coke or a coffee or a tea? Okay, a cup of coffee here. You want cream or sugar? Okay, pass it to you. And then later on, near the end of the flight, they come back with their garbage bag and collect the cups and toss them in. How? And of course, we're wearing masks, these stewardesses are, and gloves. How would COVID virus have anything to do with this? I don't know. But it's a good way to cheat you out. Would you happen to have a newspaper on this flight? No, we don't have papers anymore. Well, why not? COVID virus. Oopsie. As a matter of fact, I saw three COVID viruses doing a tap dance on a copy of the Golden Mail out of the box. Should have bought it. Anyway, I'm going to go through the airports. Relays, a chain of convenience stores to airports actually across the world. So I went into the one in Saskatoon on my first trip out here about a month ago, and I said, do you have any newspapers? No. Well, why not? They don't deliver them. Well, the delivery boy died or something. I went to Vancouver. Do you have any newspapers here? No. Well, why not? They don't deliver them. Okay. They don't want to make money. So I keep asking the question everywhere I go. So finally today in Vancouver, I did get an answer. Oh, COVID virus. I see they don't deliver the Vancouver Stun because of COVID virus. I'm not sure I understand that. I suppose it's intended to shut me up because that's the answer. It's just like God wills it. Oh, okay, God wills it. I'll do whatever you want. It makes a mockery of your common sense. All right. What about this thing called a mask? This mask thing. I like the idea of the face mask. I tell people, if you have to put one on, put red something on as offensive as you can imagine. I had a good friend of mine say, I'll get my wife to make one up for you with a Confederate flag. Well, I disagree with that. And not because I don't want to, but I don't believe we should use precious flags to make statements. I don't think I should wear a t-shirt with a Confederate flag or women in a bikini with a Confederate flag, but if you can think of something really offensive, right in your face. So, okay, masks. Seems like so long ago, but back in March, the China woman, what's her name, Teresa Tam, our chief medical officer of health, I don't know, she ever did become chief medical officer of health, but anyway, she was saying, no, masks are not very effective, because that's what the WHO says, and she was part of the WHO, and it's run by Red China. So anyway, masks are not very effective, and we must not have border restrictions, especially with China, because that would be racist. Because that would be racist. Okay, well, that was the parting line back then. Fortunately, a man with some common sense, the President of the United States, they put a travel ban on them in China, and eventually we sort of kind of followed, although there's still people pouring in from there. Anyway, but the mask back then was was not effective. Okay, well, you must know you're the chief medical officer of health. You must be a really important person. Okay, and sometime in early May, masks might do some good. Okay. Then masks are advisable. And then now you shall wear the mask or you can't fly. You shall wear the mask or you can't shop in the province of Ontario. Well, in certain cities in the province of Ontario. Masks have been around at least for 100 years. I think actually for longer. You mean medical science in all that time has not figured out whether they're effective or not. Well, this is what scares me. People don't seem to have any memory. You were being told back in March, they're not effective. Who needs them? Now you're being told, you'd better wear them or we'll put you in jail. We'll fine you. We'll kick you off the plane with 30,000
feet. Set an example.
Pardon?
Set an example.
Well, set a deal. Shoot a few of those distance. What's the truth? We're told the COVID virus is a very, very tiny thing. It's not a bacteria. It's a virus. It's really, really small. This little cloth mask is not going to prevent a virus. Then we're told, well, this is actually not to protect me. It's to protect you. But I've got my funny little mask on with dog on it. I'm protecting you. Okay, well, if this will not stop a virus, how am I protecting you? Just taking the part of that, what they say, none of this makes any sense. I agree that if I let out a big old sneeze, then this would probably stop some of the particles. Moisture particles. Okay, which we're supposed to, long before COVID, you're told by mom, if you're going to sneeze, sneeze into your sleeve or into a handkerchief or your Kleenex or something like that. But, why the fanaticism about masks? I think it's partly to get us used to following orders without question. Why, when you join the military, do they make you march around according to certain steps, back and forth and back and forth, and following commands and turn right, turn left? What does that have to do with fighting? Well, wouldn't marksmanship be better? Camouflage, tactics? Well, why all this marching stuff? Because soldiers will be better because they can march, or marching in certain formations. It gets the soldier used to following orders. When the sergeant major says, turn right, you turn right. And when he says, turn left, you turn left. When he says, march on the spot, and you do that. And you don't think about it, you do that. And I see that is something that's at play here. Businesses tell us that we've decided we can only allow, 6 people in the drugstore. So you people have to stand outside. And after a while, people pass along and say, well, I don't. I'll constantly agitate. If I'm forced to be in a line, I say, just like the effing, I spell it out, Soviet effing Union. Line up for everything. This used to be a free country. I've had some great fights. I sometimes think I must be part Irish, but Hattie goes into a bar and he sees there's a fight on and he says to his friend Seamus, let's get into this fight. And Seamus says, which side are we on? He says, I don't care where. So we punch everybody. Anyway, sometimes I think that I must have some Irish in me because I do like the idea of a barroom fight. I was at Tim Hortons a few weeks ago, and there's a little line up there. We dutifully are standing in our yellow sort of red spaces, 6 feet apart. There's some guy from the third world behind me who doesn't have a mask. I'm like, this is good. Doesn't have a mask on. That's great. So I say, why do we have to line up it like sheep? This is a communist country. He's listening to it quite intently. He says, you're not wearing a mask. I said, no, I don't. Medical reasons. So he's getting an earful. So finally, one guy gets so angry at me. He says, I'm thinking you have chemotherapy and you have to wear a mask to protect me from you. I said, well, sir, if you're that ill, you really indeed should stay home. And I said, the mayor of this city is an asshole. He says, he's not an asshole, you're an asshole. I said, no, you're a sheep. And the guy from the third world behind me, he's thinking, either these white guys are truly crazy, and the third world staff behind the counter, these girls are their cowering. They want one of these two guys to start hitting each other. Well, no, I'm not going to hit the guy who's going to face chemotherapy. It's so sad. But I think it's your duty as a free citizen, or with what's left of your freedom, to, as they say in religious circles, testify. I mean, speak to what you know, that this is nonsense, that the mask requirement is nonsense. And if you pay close enough attention, you see the lies unraveling. It's probably back in April, I think one of your first nice spring days, lots of people went out on Kitsilano Beach. And this got the politicians and the media people just red with fury. How the socially irresponsible people, why some of them were closer than 6 feet, couples were holding hands, people were lying on blankets, and they were closer than 6 feet. The irresponsibility, the young irresponsible, oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, 2 weeks later, did Vancouver, were people falling dead in the streets with the COVID? No. Similar thing played itself out in Toronto. We had a long cold spring, but sometime in May, we had a kind of a warm weekend, and there's a park in downtown, the west downtown Toronto, called Trinity Bellwoods Park. And supposedly 10,000 people went out. It's a big, big, big park. And they laid back blankets on the ground, or they played around, played soccer, just had a good time. Well, once again, the mayor was denouncing these irresponsible people, and there were threats. We would have to bring in more restrictions if people will not obey. You know, this the terrible police state. You shall obey. If you don't obey, okay, they won't say anything good I get, but we'll shut more places down. Well, anyway, 2 weeks later, don't forget, 2 weeks is supposedly the incubation period for COVID virus. Was there a huge spike in the cases in Toronto? No. Because another part of what you're not normally told is that outdoors, the UV rays and the outdoors make it more difficult for the virus to survive and to be passed on. So actually being outdoors, maybe even closer than 6 feet, isn't such a bad thing. And one thing we've seen throughout this is the joylessness. In Ontario, in some limited areas, bars are now, patio bars are now able to reopen. But there won't be any singing.
Why?
I don't know, COVID virus. No singing. How joyless. So as not to exactly identify who these people are, but young friends of mine thought they would take advantage when the city of Kitchener opened up patio bars about a month ago. And they went out to a patio bar and they were told, you have to give us your name and phone number. Well, these young people weren't born yesterday, maybe the day before, but not yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe how many John Smiths and Mary Jones were, including, I'll leave that part of the story for later. They get it. Oh yeah, their phone numbers. Well, there are an awful lot of phony phone numbers. And I'm sure they'd be denounced as very irresponsible because they want to be able to socially to track you if somebody has COVID virus. So somebody at your table, or the next table over, had COVID virus. Well, now they can phone you up and, I don't know, tell you what, go get tested. Yeah, but how long are they going to keep those records for? Who gets to see them? Yeah, but we are being asked to trade away basic privacy. All in the goal of supposedly stopping this COVID virus. I'm livid at the way that people want to marshal you. I was at a Toronto Indian Bank somewhere in the Okanagan about a month ago, and this pushy little East Indian comes out. And sir, you're in the wrong place. I'm here to do banking. Well, we got to join the line. Oh, yeah. And there was a long line, so we went back and forth in the parking lot. He was marshaling us here and went to this there, and so on. So I finally got to near to the Holy of Holies. That's the entrance to the bank. There were only about five customers in the bank, but about 20 of us had been waiting outside. So it's finally my turn out of the head of the line. And he says, "What's your name?" I said, "Well, why do you need to know?" "I want to deal with the teller." "No, I need to know your name so we can call you." I said, "Lee Harvey Oswald." the girl ahead of me, I've been agitating her, and then she turns around and gives me a big old laugh. He didn't know he'd been fished. Anyway, I go in, I told him, "Well, go and sit down here." I do. No, not that chair. This one over here. Okay. Well, I said, "How long is this going to take?" I thought, I'm not going to sit. I don't absolutely need to do what I'm here to do. I'm getting out of here. Why should I have to sit around like this? So I said, "You can take Lee Harvey Oswald off of this." I think at every opportunity we should resist and we should mock them. And believe me, humor can cost you. Early on in this nonsense, I think it'll be back in March, some young students at Queen's University in Kingston decided that they would have a Corona party. You know, Corona the beer, coronavirus, and they put some stuff, some reports up on the internet. One of those kids was forced to, and young men, was forced to resign from the student union because of a joke. This is becoming grim, miserable country. I truly do believe that the propaganda has made some people almost literally crazy. I know one couple in Ontario, they're in their late 20s, they're young professionals. I think both can work from home, one's an accountant, and I'm not sure what one is, but they have a nice townhouse, a nice part of town. They have not left their townhouse since the middle of March.
Oh.
They email the local grocery store that brings them their food. They do not even want to see their parents or their siblings because they would have to wipe the entire townhouse down.
Oh.
I mean, this is seriously mentally ill. And they walk among us. And they look at you if you're not wearing a mask. And they look at you as if you're a freak. Now, I haven't had a lot of personal experiences with this, but friends of mine have said that in a very trendy part of the east part of Toronto, people will actually see that you're not wearing a mask. You do a two-step to get out of your way. People have gotten almost into fights. Somebody's turned around and said, "You're too close to me." And it's not usually somebody you want to be close to. People are frightened out of their minds. And I really believe that the airline industry will not recover for a long time. There was quite a fall off in travel after 9/11, but 9/11 was much more limited. You only had to worry about, supposedly, Arabs with bombs. But now, it's everywhere. Everybody could be carriers. And I was told that it makes a lot of sense. In the normal medical practice, you isolate the people who are ill. Here, we isolate the people who are healthy. We're all carriers, or we could all be carriers. We must be suspicious of everybody. Maybe best if I just stay home and be controlled. And that's part of what's happening. Another thing that's happening, I'm sure this is a part of a planned conspiracy. There is a move to go to a cashless society. One part of me is indifferent. Well, what does it matter? Cashless society, or I can access it. I have my cash card, whatever it is, a credit card or a debit card, but no cash. Why is that a problem? It might even be more efficient. I don't have to carry lots of cash in my pocket, assuming I have any. a prop on it. It was driven home to me with very forcefully a couple of years ago when I was traveling abroad. I renegotiated a mortgage, and the bank I negotiated with had wanted me to reduce my outstanding balance on their credit card, and I did that. I got overseas, and I'm using a different credit card. I'm using Visa, different bank. And the first couple of times I use it, there's no problems. Then I start running into problems. At first I think, well, maybe it's just because of the foreign language. Actually, they didn't ask me for the PIN number. Maybe that's the problem. But then I was asked for the PIN. I put the PIN in. Doesn't work. Put it in a couple of times more. Doesn't work. I feverishly went through my wallet. I had just enough cash to cover a bill. Otherwise, I would have seriously lost face. And that drove... Well, I got back to the hotel. I called Visa. I said, Visa, what's the problem here? What's the problem? You canceled your card. He said, I did not. No. No. And it was reinstated. Okay. Somehow, this minor employee for a different bank had somehow got my Visa with the Toronto Dominion canceled. How could that be? There was a big investigation. I think he got disciplined, but he never effectively got to the bottom of it. But it drove home to me how important cash was. If I hadn't had cash, I would have looked like very poor in the eyes of the people I was talking to in this country. Is this guy a bit of a con man or something that somebody remembers that when the bill comes that he doesn't have any money? I mean, they probably wouldn't have thought that, but you don't know. But that is why we need to have cash, because in a cashless society, who gets the right to cancel your card? Could it be canceled if you haven't had the COVID vaccine? Could it be canceled if you're a racist? Could it be canceled if who gets the right to cancel things? My little adventure pointed out to me that somebody very low down the totem pole somehow managed to pull this off. I guess I did get it reversed. But imagine if that happened to you, and you say, "Well, I need to buy some groceries tonight, and I don't even have enough gas to get home." We couldn't say, "Okay, well, we'll help you. We'll reach into our wallets and give you $5." In a cashless society, there's nothing we can do to help you. You're what? You're a non-person. That's the big fear. Well, suddenly, thanks to COVID virus, all sorts of institutions tell us they would prefer cash. I'm sorry, prefer a credit card or debit. Well, that's fine. They can prefer whatever they like, as long as they don't tell me I can't use cash. So I don't know why I have problems with pet chains, but there's a couple of pet food stores that are chains in Ontario. And I bought this big bag, 40 pounds of cat litter. I stagger up to the counter with it, and then I notice the sign, keep your cash. I said, I took out, I think it was $10, so I turned out my $20 bill, plugged it down. Well, we don't accept cash. I said, we actually don't have any choice. The law says tender. Legal tender for the settlement of debts in the Dominion of Canada. Yeah, you don't have a choice. You can refuse checks, credit cards, or debit cards, but not cash. Well, we don't accept it. Management says. I said, well, I won't say the rest of what I said, but it added up to 7 letters. And left the big bag of cat litter. You can haul it back yourself. We need resistance like that. And all sorts of places are now saying they will not accept cash. One of my sons was doing some work for me, and we went to the dump in Hamilton with a big load of junk, and we were told that this would cost, I think it was $20-some. So I come up to the window, and I hand the one my credit card. Oh, we don't accept cash. I was going through the same thing. At the end of the woman, I think $20. She said, well, we don't accept cash. I said, well, you actually don't have a choice. Well, we don't accept cash. And I thought, well, if there hadn't been somebody behind me I would have left the cash there and would have given away. Hey, it's up to you. I paid the bail. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll ask you a few questions. I said, is it that they don't trust you? I mean, that you might pocket some of the cash? Well, I don't know. That's what we were told. This absolutely simplistic attitude. The city of Aurelia. Now, I thought at first these ads were maybe comedies or jokes. The ad is, after a cold spring, the summer months are here, and time, you might want to go to the beaches up here in Aurelia. Oh, that sounds nice. There'll be a big charge of $50 for parking. I thought, wait, it's a small hamlet on I think it's the north part of Lake Simcoe. Well, what do you mean, $50? That's like downtown Toronto parking and then some. And also $50 to launch a boat. And there's social distancing. And there's reduced parking spaces. And furthermore, we only accept credit cards or debit cards. I thought, you're not exactly making this sound very friendly. There's no way I'm coming up to Aurelia. So I communicated those thoughts to them. There are forces in our society that don't want to use this coronavirus as an excuse. And of course, if you are so bold as to challenge them, well, what is that? Well, coronavirus, well, I don't understand. Well, cash is dirty. Well, it's always been dirty. Long before coronavirus, we were told, if you handle cash and watch, you should probably wash your hands quite often. Gee, that's what we were told about coronavirus, too. That makes good sense. Sure, if you handle cash a lot, like wash your hands or wear gloves or whatever. But it is being used as the excuse for everything. So I'd like to kind of summarize that. I see this as part of a revolution that's being imposed upon us. Our rights are being, in many cases, severely limited. And there is not enough pushback. I would see enough rebellious people say, no, you can't take away my rights. Now, that's the negative part. On the good side, Brian Rue and others here in Vancouver have been protesting every Sunday since the middle of March, constantly, without fail. In Toronto, beginning about 2 weeks later, every Saturday, noon to 3 o'clock in Queen's Park, and then the lockdown protest, a lot of people that are concerned about vaccines, concerned about masks, concerned about other things that have to do with this. There have been similar demonstrations. I'm not quite so clear whether it's been every Saturday, but they've been fairly frequent in Calgary and in Edmonton and in Ottawa. And that's good. I mean, people are being very dedicated in coming out and voicing their concerns. And it's brought together a very interesting coalition of people, at least all I've noticed in Toronto. Not everybody would be entirely in agreement with things that might go on this evening here, or all the books on the book table, but a lot of people are very concerned about the loss of freedom. So I think that is something we're going to have to really battle for. We're told that the new normal will see a lot of restrictions. I think one of the slogans we can probably all agree with is that we won't accept a new normal. We want our rights back. But people have to be reminded the once lost rights. It's very difficult to get rights and your rights back. Over my following politics in Canada, I've seen the rights to gun ownership constantly eroded. I have, with the possible exception of the Harper years, not seen rights restored. Once you lose them, you've lost them, unless you really dig in. And maybe more obvious revolution that we're undergoing is the pernicious anti-white revolution going on around this Black Lives Matter thing. The protests began, almost 2 months ago, when a black was died while being arrested in Minneapolis. Now, whether that was wrong, and maybe it was, how did that justify non-stop protests, riots, occupations, arson that has gone on, especially in the United States, ever since? It's what way beyond.
And I'm going to pick that up again tomorrow night. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take my short musical break tonight, and going to play a couple of cuts from an album by a man who brought the Bakersfield, California sound to Nashville in the 1960s. He's a long-time regular on the TV show Hee Haw, the man from Bakersfield, in fact, sometimes called Buckersfield, Buck Owens.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna live here again. Things are gonna be the way they were before. Love's gonna live here again. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here. Singing. Love's gonna live here again. I hear bees humming and I know the days are coming. Love's gonna live here again. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here. Love's gonna live here again. No more. Thank you.
Side of me back for you again tomorrow, and I sign off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Prawn, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless.